I want to tell you a story, and it starts off in Acts chapter 10. In Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius. Cornelius was a Roman. He was one of the leaders of the occupying army that had the people of Israel down there. Soldiers on the streets. People who tried to oppose, crucified and hung along the roadways. He was the leader of one of that troops of soldiers. But he was a good man. I don't think any Jewish people would have seen him that way in those days. But he was a good man. And in his responsibility as a soldier, he always tried to do what he thought God wanted him to do. But his idea of God might have been a bit strange, because the Romans' idea of gods was very, very different to what Jesus had presented. And one day, he was sitting quietly with God, and he had this vision. And in the vision, an angel comes and speaks to him and says, "I want you to go to Joppa and I want you to call for a person called Peter. He's got something to tell you." It was such a vivid vision. He knew the names and he knew the places. He'd never had anything like this happen before. So he called up some of his people under his command and he said, "I want you to go to Joppa. I want you to find a person called Peter, and I want you to bring him here." Now, there's a little problem. Jewish people, and although Peter had been a follower of Jesus for quite a few years, right through Jesus' time, and he'd learned everything Jesus had told him, and he'd spent quite a bit of time serving Jesus after the crucifixion and the resurrection, Jewish people didn't have anything to do with those Romans, because they were the occupying forces and they believed in that other religion, the Roman gods, and they sacrificed to the gods and they were sort of seen as bleh. There's another little thing that the Jewish people had in those days. They had very strict rules about what they were allowed to eat. Some things were seen as good foods and some things were seen as bad foods. Some foods God had given for people to eat and some foods they weren't to eat at all. And amongst those things were things like crayfish and pigs and animals that ate meat and certain types of birds that you weren't allowed to eat, all these sort of things. Peter's up on a rooftop and he's praying, trying to think, "Jesus, what do you want me to do with my life?" And while he's up there, he sees a vision. And in this vision, there's a huge tarpaulin. And on this tarpaulin are all sorts of meats. And amongst those meats are some of those meats that God has said in the Old Testament, you're not allowed to eat. And this comes down, it sort of lowers down out of heaven. And Peter's looking at it and going, ugh. And then a voice says, "Peter, get up and eat." And Peter, doing the thing any good Jewish person would do, he said, "No way, that's the stuff that's unclean. I'm not going to eat that. I know what my faith requires of me. That's unclean. I'm not to touch it." And then this voice out of heaven says something utterly unexpected and impossible. This voice of God says to Peter, "Get up and eat, Peter. Don't think of anything that I have created as unclean." And then Peter wakes up. And he's sitting up on the rooftop thinking, "What was that all about? What am I supposed to make of that? I mean, it's written down in the Bible, you mustn't eat these meats, back in Leviticus and Deuteronomy." And then there's a knock at the door. Peter goes down to open the door, and who's standing there? A couple of couple of Romans. I'll bet Peter had a... because he was part of a religion then that wasn't approved. He was Christian. And he probably thought his number was up because Jesus had been crucified by the Romans. And what this person says to him is the second big shock of the day. He says, Peter, my commander, Cornelius, a centurion, has been given a vision by God to come and ask you to come and talk to us about what it is that God's given you. The penny drops for Peter. Suddenly he understands what the vision's about. The things that he thought were unclean are created by God. This Roman, these people who you've got to despise and hate, they're also created by God. And Peter has a watershed moment in his whole understanding of what life's about, that God's there in the most unexpected places. And so Peter goes off with these Romans and he goes to meet this centurion and he talks to him, and that man and his whole household become Christians that day. And all of a sudden, Christian faith has moved out of the Jewish community and into the Gentile community, because Cornelius was an important person. What do we make of that? What do you think it means? I'll see if anybody's got an idea. How would you apply that to today, do you think? What could it mean for us today, that story? This isn't supposed to happen. The minister's supposed to tell you what the truth is. But there's a lot of good minds in here today. So what do you think it might mean? Any ideas? What does it mean, David?
That even people who annoy you are loved and treasured by God.
Somebody else? Liz?
Prejudice has to be eradicated.
If you didn't hear that down the back, what Liz said is prejudice has to be eradicated. Are there any groups that you would not expect out of those people God to be there and working very powerfully? Are there any individuals who you just couldn't imagine God being there with them?
Possibly a president of the United States of America.
Political statements are okay in church because the gospel says some very... politics is about power, and the gospel says some very interesting things about power. So it's okay to make a political statement. Can you imagine a group of people that you might think,
The Ku Klux Gang.
Ku Klux Klan. Yeah, thanks, Kate. And yet I know that in America there's a bloke, an Afro-American, who makes it his mission to get alongside of... he's a Christian, and he makes it his mission to get alongside of Ku Klux Klan people and help them to understand what it is that they're really trying for, and to help them to understand how God wants that shifted from hatred of black people to a love of purity shift the attention in a different direction and to understand that that purity can be in people not because of the colour of their skin, but because of what goes on in their heart. Amazing, yeah? With our young people in brigades, one of the things that we try to work with very hard is to understand that no person, no matter what they look like, no matter what their behaviour, no matter what colour their skin, their hair, whether they're short, tall, skinny, fat, brainy, sporty, lazy, a bit dopey, no matter what, that person is a love creation of God. And that person, somewhere in there, God is at work. And sometimes it gets a bit skewed in getting out. But every person is holy. And the work of Christ was always to try and draw that out when often it had been twisted and marred on the way. And people that everybody else was writing off, no, God can't be in that person. Oh, yes. It might have got a bit twisted, but is there a way to draw it out? Is there a way to bring that person to the wholeness that God's created for them? And there's no barriers. What you said's dead right. Prejudice has to be eradicated. You can't follow Jesus and live with prejudice completely. One has to suffer. So in our work with young people, that's part of what we're trying to do. But I think the other thing that's terribly important that Peter learnt, I think Cornelius learnt, because he never would have expected one of those people who, you know, when you're in a dominant army, you always think of the people underneath you as being not worth anything. In the Australian Army, when we were training to fight the Viet Cong, there was a real thing that came through that the Viet Cong were all rubbish. They were all terrible people. So Cornelius would never have expected a Jew to be the person who would give to him what he needed for wholeness of life. And Peter never would have expected a Roman soldier to do it. So the other thing that comes out of this story is never assume that God isn't in some place that you're going to. God is often found in the most unexpected places and with the most unexpected people, because God is where our minds don't go. God is already there. I wonder what's the most unexpected place you'd expect to find something of God. I'll leave that question with you. But one of the things I'd like our children to learn is to always expect that God might be ready to meet you in any situation. Now, I wonder where your mind might go and say, no, I would never meet God there.